Hello, and welcome back to the StudyClicks Explains King Lear series. In this episode, StudyClicks expert teacher Peter Tobin will be talking us through the characters of Edmund and Edgar in the play. Peter Tobin is an English teacher who has a YouTube channel called Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, where you can find loads of free videos covering different parts of the Leaving Cert English course. We have linked his channel in the description, and we can't recommend enough that you check it out and subscribe to get updates on the new content he's making. The next voice you're going to hear is Peter's, and we hope that you will enjoy this episode.
The next two characters we're going to look at together, just like we did with Goneril and Regan. So these two are Edmund and Edgar, and while they are more nuanced and are characterised differently to the two sisters, they work in contrast to each other to give the audience a picture of filial loyalty, or the loyalty of children. Edmund is the illegitimate or bastard son of Gloucester. He jokes with Kent at the beginning of the play about Edmund's conception, a brief affair with a woman who was not his wife. Edgar is Kent's legitimate son. Born in wedlock, they are very close in age, and all that separates them, as Edmund points out in his famous soliloquy in scene 2, is that Edgar, his half-brother, was conceived in a marriage bed with a woman who was Gloucester's wife by law. Edmund was conceived in a bed of passion with a woman who wasn't Gloucester's wife. Does that make them different? Edmund asks. And if it does, then surely it should favour him, Edmund, as he was conceived in a moment of passion and energy, not as a product of a stale or tired relationship or marriage. While this argument is certainly a little tongue-in-cheek, the broader principle remains. Why should he be seen as different, treated as different, because of the absence of some social contract between his mother and father? And it's not just social stigma he's talking about either. Under law, he is unable to inherit any of his father's property or his father's title of Earl. Edmund is presented to the audience as switched on, aware of his surroundings and his own ambitions, and very intelligent. Edgar, on the other hand, is shown to be naive and easily falls into the traps that his brother sets for him. As the legitimate child, who will inherit all of his father's estates as well as the title of Earl, we get the sense that Edgar is a little foolish, lacking agency, and just playing the role of the dutiful son who will one day take his father's place. It seems that Edmund's necessity is the mother of his energy and cunning. Edmund has been viewed over time in different ways. Some of them focus on his character simply as a representation of illegitimacy. He behaves the way he does because he's a bastard. Those views have been replaced over time with a more nuanced view. It's clear that Edmund is charismatic. He draws the other characters in, not just his brother, but also his father, Goneril and Regan. He rises quickly over the course of the play, and this charisma and drive is caused by his sense of injustice at the way he is treated by society, and perhaps even by his father. Stephen Greenblatt suggests that Edmund's rebellion against the established order reflects the anxieties and tensions of Shakespeare's time regarding legitimacy and power. He observes, Edmund's rise and fall serves as a commentary on the fragility and corruption of social hierarchies. Edgar, on the other hand, grows through the play from a position of comfort and naivety to being a natural leader, and he steps into the vacuum created by the death of almost everyone else. We get the sense that things will be restored under Edgar. A.C. Bradley views Edgar as a symbol of moral fortitude and resilience. Bradley emphasises Edgar's transformation from a naive and trusting son to a cunning survivor and eventual moral victor. He writes, Edgar's journey from innocence to experience and his ultimate triumph over Edmund symbolise the redemptive power of virtue and endurance. While at the end, Edmund seems to recognise the wrong in what he's done, trying to undo his actions too late in revealing that he has ordered the murder of Cordelia. The most telling of Edmund's words, though, come after he is mortally wounded, and he sees that both Goneril and Regan have died for him. He says, yet Edmund was beloved. Who's the greater villain in this scenario? Edmund, or the society that refused to allow him to be loved and accepted on the same terms as his brother?
That concludes our 7th episode, and we hope that this analysis of Edmund and Edgar has given you a deeper understanding of them and equipped you with lots of great ideas and phrases that you can use in your essays. Once again, if you enjoyed this, we would really encourage that you check out Peter's YouTube channel, Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, which is linked in the description. Trust us when we say this is an incredible free resource for 5th and 6th year students, and we hope that you stay tuned for more content like this. Thank you.